The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
You know, we are closing the year already. We close the year at Zoe. Yeah. It doesn't mean that by Zoe, we're not doing service again after Zoe. No. After Zoe, a new year starts for us. So you're going to see many, many, many prayer sessions in December. One of the things to put your expectation for Zoe this year is next year. Put 2026 in your expectation. God will speak to you about the coming year. But I sense strongly, I don't want to say that, but I sense strongly that from next year, this Zoe date may stay. But let's be going first. This Zoe date may stay. I sense very strongly. You know, it used to be November. I sense strongly. Are you okay with that? Yes. I answer for you. So we're looking at lay hold, right? Why are you on Sunday? Why is such a blessed service on Sunday? So I was looking at teaching us how to lay hold on prophecies. What a blessed time we had. How to lay hold of or on prophecies. Both of them are correct. One is Old English, the other one. So how to lay hold of or on prophecies. Well, today we're going to look at something else. How to lay hold on your answers when you pray. A lot of people pray and they don't even know that prayer works because they pray and they don't see any answer. So some people don't even think that prayer works. So they think, well, we'll just pray. Who knows? And if you carry that who knows mentality, you're not going to see any answer to prayer. The first thing you must note, because I want to teach you, if you get what I'm going to share with you today, you will see why you've prayed some prayers and you did not see any answer. So people say things like, I prayed, but nothing happened. I prayed, but God did not answer. That shouldn't be your story. Jesus was clear. He said, ask, you will receive. And I dealt with that when I was teaching you on God's sovereignty. What's that teaching again? God uncensored. Do you remember that teaching? Yes. I dealt some of these things. I think that God on censor should be the series of the year. Praise God. God on censor. You know, you need to realize God is a prayer answering God. He said, ask and it shall be. Talk to me. Are you here? Ask and? Where did you drop your voice? I say ask. So the character of God in prayer is very clear. God says once you ask, he gives. People say, sir, what if I don't have faith? What if it is very clear? Ask, it shall be given. Not seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8 says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Are you part of everyone? Everyone. So the character of God in prayer is very clear. What are we seeing in this verse? He answers everyone. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh shall be opened. So everyone that asketh will receive. Everyone. James 1 verse 5, we've seen that scripture already. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. So he tells you God gives to all men. How many men? All men. So if you are part of all men, then God, when you ask, God is going to give to you. So when you are coming to prayer, you know you are coming to a God that gives to all men. Now, this all men here, do you have the sinner in the all men? Yes. So do you have you in the all men? Yes. God gives to all men. In fact, Luke 6:35 tells us that he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Look at that. He said, love your enemies and do good. Learn, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful. So if someone is unthankful and evil, God is kind to the person. That's shocking to many religious minds. Because there is this, we are entering December. Once we enter December, we'll start having Thanksgiving services. Ah, thank God for the year. You know, one reason we have to thank God for the year is because when you thank a great man for the one he has done, he will do another one. But that's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying if you are unthankful, God is kind to you. So your thanksgiving will not make God do another one. Are you following me? That's Ekenedike Nankome. Yeah, more so. That's the Igbo translation of that. That thing is from traditional worship. And it's from human relationships. That's how men are. You know what I'm saying now? He said he's kept the unthankful and to the evil. That's God. Then you now go to verse 36, 37, 38. He now said, give and it shall be given unto you. Watch you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall what? Talk to me, shall men give to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with that, it shall be measured to you. You know what he's saying? How men behave is that when you give to them, they will give back to you. But that's not how God behaves. God is kind to unthankful people. If you don't like God, he will give to you. To even tell you that what I'm saying is perfectly true. I told you the major way to measure God, to learn God's character is in salvation. You remember that? So we are wicked, evil, unthankful, unrepentant, yet God gave his son to us. So if he gave his biggest, his best gift to sinners, what makes you think he can't give them money or cow? Are you getting what I'm saying now? That's why when rain is falling in your house, it is falling in the house of the witch. Come on, are you following me, friend? It's falling in the house of the wizard. Because God is unthankful, is good to everybody, even if you're unthankful and evil to him. If that's affecting your mind, you have to renew it. Because it is this mindset that God doesn't give to everybody. You know what it does? It doesn't just affect how you relate to people. It affects your own prayer life. Because when you now stand to pray, the first thing you begin to analyze is your own self. God doesn't answer everybody. God only answers righteous people. So am I righteous? Have I met the qualification? God, that's why before we pray, we must say, God, please forgive us all our sins. In case there's anything that will stand against our prayer. You see, it is guilt and condemnation that is affecting you. Because in your mind, you think that if you don't confess this, your sin, God will just look at you and say, I will not answer you, for the prayer of a sinner is an abomination unto me. But you know, the Bible didn't say that. I've shown that many times, Abby. The Bible said the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. He said the prayer of the righteous is his delight. The sacrifice of the wicked is not prayer, it's sacrifice. And it is true because there is not a sacrifice that appeals to God apart from the sacrifice of his son. He's not following me this evening at all. So actually God answers everybody. That's the point I'm just trying to make. Some of you, before you, when did you get born again? How many of you got born again 3-4 years ago? Anybody here? Raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Anybody? 2-3 years ago. Anybody? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand. I'm afraid of your being born again. Raise your hand if you got born again recently. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Let me see your hand. Wave it very well. Put it up on the air. Okay, yes. So before you got born again, were you praying? Huh? Can you ever remember God answering your prayer when you were not born again? Can you remember? Many. Sometimes in very simple way. Say, God, please protect me. So as we even committed sin, say, God, please. I know I'm not worthy to be called your son, but please. God is a generous giver. You see what I'm dealing with now? This fight in your head is the reason you've not been seeing answers to prayer. Because somewhere you think that there is a certain level of qualification you have to hit before God begins to answer your prayer. I know what you think, you've not hit it. So the point is, if God asks everybody's prayer, Why won't he answer the prayer of his own child?
Ask and you shall receive. Everyone that asketh, receive it.
Jesus said that in Matthew 7, verse 7, verse 8.
When he got to verse 11, he made it personal. He now moved it from everyone. He now brought it to father-son relationship.
Verse 10, verse 9 and 10, he said, if your child asks you for stone, will you give him bread? So he says, about the fact that everyone that asks respect, he said, there is now a special thing when it is father-son. So what I'm saying is that when you ask God, he will answer you. Are you following me now?
So God answers everybody. Let me even say something else about the character of God in prayer.
God answers everybody. God answers instantly.
I'm going to teach you how to lay hold of answered prayers today. God answers how fast?
Did you grow up hearing that there are three ways God answers prayer? What did you hear? Yes, no, and...
You know, people still believe that thing. Somebody will say, but that makes sense. Imagine a small boy asking God for a car. God cannot give him a car. Because God knows that if he gives him the car will go and kill him. So God will tell him to wait. That's not true. God can give him the car and give him a driver. Yeah. Say amen.
Amen.
So God can give. The other thing they are saying is not correct. There are rich homes you go to. All the kids have cars. They can't drive. Somebody's driving it for them. Say amen.
Amen.
God doesn't say wait. And that answer is not anywhere in the Bible. It's just human reasoning. But it makes so. Let me tell you something. I'm going to teach you this. If there's any deficiency you are seeing in your spiritual experience, find out why. Don't try to explain it away. Let me give an example. Somebody gets fall sick and prays for God to heal him and doesn't see the healing. So he develops a doctrine out of the answer he did not get and says, well, just develop the doctrine to back it up. Maybe he says, the days of healing are over because he didn't see a healing. Because you pray that you didn't see answers to your prayer or the answers came much later, doesn't mean that God told you, wait. It's not in the Bible. Don't use your experience to justify how God is and what God does. Have I prayed some prayers and it didn't come exactly that time? Yes. But should I now make a doctrine out of it? No, God doesn't say, wait. All the promises of God in him are what? Yea and amen. And Jesus spoke about it. He says, that parable, for instance, in Matthew 18, verse 1, just told my parable to show that men ought to pray. Sorry, not Matthew, Luke 18, verse 1. To show that men ought to pray and not to faint. I'm coming to this very shortly. So what was the parable? The parable was about a woman, a widow, who kept going to meet an unjust judge. You know, people would use this parable to teach prayer in a very interesting way. So she kept going to meet an unjust judge and was asking the judge to avenge her. And the judge refused. So she kept going and going and going until one day the judge said, if I don't avenge this woman, she will just weary me. Right? And then, gave her what she wanted. And Jesus said, now watch this. People think that's how God is. That when you get to God, just disturb him. Disturb him. Disturb him. Disturb him. Wait, after some, you're not saying,
even I don't want to give you this thing. But you keep coming.
I used to think like that too. I used to think by the time we raise a prayer team of 1,000 people, by the time we shake the gates of heaven, even if God is sleeping, he will come out. You think he's a joke.
But look at what Jesus said about the parable. Jesus said, go to verse 6. Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. What did the unjust judge say? Unjust judge said, I'm going to avenge this woman because she's disturbing me. Verse 7. He now said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him?
though he be along with them. Verse 8, let's read together, everybody. How shall he avenge them? Speedily. So Jesus was using this to teach prayer. But Jesus was contradicting, was showing a contrast between the unjust judge and God, and not a comparison. So the unjust judge is not God in that story. God, Jesus cannot use unjust judge to illustrate God in his story. Are you following what I'm saying? So he's saying just the unjust judge took long, but God answers speedily. Oh, come on. Isaiah said this in Isaiah 65 verse 24. He said, before you call, I've answered. Isaiah 65 24. I love that scripture. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Do you believe that's about you? So that's God answers instantly. We must learn how to lay hold. See, if I need a car now, I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive a car. But give me a car. I want a car. God answers instantly. Are you following me? In fact, I'm going to tell you this. God always says yes. You know, the thing about God, there's something Malachi said. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. That's Malachi. I think it's 3 verse 6. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. But that's not where he stopped. He said, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What does he mean? I have a consistent character. That's why you guys have not died. Because if I change from my character, all of you will be consumed. What does that mean? What is his character in this verse? Mercy. Grace. Are you following me, friends? Mercy, grace. I am the Lord, I change. That's why people are still alive. If I was changing, and I would not die, finish. So God has a consistent character. In other words, God is merciful and gracious. Every time you ask, God is not like your mother. Like there are days you ask and she's not feeling so good. So I'm not going to answer you. God wakes up from the right side of the bed every day. Well, he doesn't sleep. But I'm saying if he sleeps, he wakes up every day from the right side of the bed. It's not, there's no day you come to him and say, ah, I'm not in the mood today. Say, please, talk to an angel. I'm not here. So this is how I come to, every time I'm coming to prayer, I know I'm coming to a God who will answer me and who will tell me yes. Somebody's going to say, sir, what if you're asking outside the will of God? Well, I tell you the answer. If you ask outside the will of God, you're not praying. It doesn't stand as prayer. Because God only promises to do what is within his will. That's the truth. So what is outside the will of God? For instance, I always use an example. I just see somebody's wife and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I receive that woman to be my lovely wedded wife. You said, when we say a word, you carry it out. And so, Lord, as I'm speaking now, she's coming to me. She's coming to me. You will go to God very soon. Because if the husband catch you, that's not prayer. It doesn't stand as, I guess it won't, we don't count it as prayer. Because you're not operating, prayer is not what you think it is, it's what God said it is. So once you really pray, so how do I know if I'm praying the will of God? I tell you very simply. If what you're praying about is covered in God's word, then pray. It's in the will of God. If it is not time for you to have it, maybe God told you, wait. If it's not time for you to have it, he will tell you. You can pray, we can say, Lord, we want a building. And he said, I've given you the building. But don't build it yet. Just like what he did to David. You build it in 5 years' time. Fine. That's God has given you an answer. You cannot use, because you didn't hear from God, you say, okay, it's like he's telling me, wait. No. God always answers when you pray. Always answers when you pray. In fact, if I'm going to add something to that, this illustration I gave, most times, when God tells you, I'll give it, you'll get it in 3 years' time, it is not him denying you the gift. He has given it. Just that with your level and your maturity, you are not mature enough to lay hold on it now. I get what I'm saying now. Yes. It's not that he will give it in the next 5 years. When you ask, he gives it. It might take you 7 years to see it. Not him holding it back. Are you following me? So you need to know how to lay hold. Let me remind you of something. Do you remember when I taught you on when we did prayer clinic? Do you remember? Now I told you there are different kinds of prayers. Do you remember this? There is supplication. There is intercession. I think we should write exam one day in this church. So that is supplication, for instance. Philippians 4 verses tells us that we can make supplications for ourselves. Say, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So supplication is where you are, is to make a request. So that's a kind of prayer. You can make it for yourself. You can make it for others. Ephesians 6:18 tells us that we can make supplication for other people. You can make it for others. You can make it for even it's a praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you can make supplication for saints. So you can pray for a saint. I'm taking you to somewhere. I want to show you how to lay hold on answer prayer. So you can make supplication for a saint. There are other kind of prayers like intercession. Where you stand in the gap for someone. You can pray for sinners. In Romans 10 verse 1, Paul said, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's intercession. So he was interceding for Israel. This time, Israel were not saved. So you can intercede, for instance, for unsaved men. Sinners, as it were. You can even intercede for saints. Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, prayed for the Colossian church, prayed for the Philippian church. These are kinds of prayers. Amen. There are other things like prayer of consecration, where you just dedicate yourself to the Lord. Jesus prayed that prayer in the book of Luke. He said, not my will, but your will be done. That prayer where you just offer yourself to the Lord. Lord, I give myself to you. That's the kind of prayer. Are you still here? I'm just reminding, refreshing your mind. That is prayer of faith. Where you just speak to the situation. You foul devil, take your hands off. You mountain, move. We find that in Mark 11 verse 23 and 24. You know, he said, if you shall pray. Give me that verse. Mark 11 23. If you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. This is prayer of faith. So you can pray, prayer of faith. That's a kind of prayer. Are you following me? Sometimes the prayer of faith is preceded, sometimes, not at all times though, sometimes it is preceded by prayer of supplication. What I mean is you finish praying, making supplication over a matter, and after that, you now get a word from God, you now say in the name of Jesus. I get to the point, you now speak prayer of faith. For instance, in James chapter 5 and verse 14, we see prayer of faith being preceded by prayer of supplication. He said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Then what happened in verse 15? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. So they pray over him, then now speak over him. He'll be healed. Well, all of that. But why am I taking you through all of this? No matter the kind of prayer you are praying, there is still need for you to know how to hold what you are. Because you can pray this kind of prayer and nothing will happen. Some people don't know how to make intercession, for instance. In the name of Jesus, Father, this brother shall be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, but you didn't get saved. You don't know how to lay hold of what you prayed for. Some don't know how to pray prayer of faith. So he told us that we can speak over it. I spoke over the mountain. You mountain, move in Jesus' name. And I came back. The mountain was still there. So this thing is not working. You need to know how to lay hold. Are you following me? You said we should pray. Whatever we need, we should pray. I prayed. Prayed. I made supplication in the spirit. But nothing happened. Remember again, there is no kind of prayer you pray that nothing will happen. No kind of prayer. Every kind of prayer that I've discussed, that I'm still here to discuss, all of them fall under prayer. And once you ask, you will receive. Say amen. So you must know how to lay hold on your answer. Let me give you a simple word. I'll say two things today about laying hold on answers to prayers. One major way to lay hold of answer to prayer, one major way is perseverance in prayer. But I'm going to explain it to you because there is something it doesn't mean. Perseverance in prayer. If you don't know how to persevere in prayer, you will pray many prayers, have many answers, but never lay hold on any of them. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. What does that tell you? Keep praying. That's what it means. Keep praying. Colossians 1:9. Paul was telling the Colossian church about his prayer life for them. What did he say? For this cause also. Look at it. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So Paul said, there is a prayer I've been praying for you guys, and I have been praying for... Give me like another of this verse. Everybody look at the screen. So we have not stopped praying for you. So Paul is saying, this prayer I'm talking about, I've been praying it since then. In other words, if you don't know how to persevere in prayer, you will not lay hold. There is a way to persevere in prayer, and I'm going to teach you today. There is a way. Because some people, is in an attempt to persevere in prayer, that they even lose their answers. But they don't know how to. And I'm going to show you today. So you must persevere in prayer. Colossians 4 verse 2. He said, continue down in prayer. I like that verse. Continue in prayer. Continue. Give me NLT. Continue in prayer. Very simple. NLT said, devote yourself to prayer. Give me Amplified Classic, other translations. Be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life. You must continue in prayer. Because without continuance and persistence and perseverance in prayer, you will not see what you are looking for. It will not come. Once you pray, God gives. But I'm going to show you that something perseverance does. It's one of the major keys to receiving your answers or to having you see your answers. Persevering and persevering the right way. Why should we persevere in prayers? Let me give you some reasons. I'll give you like three things. One, because somebody's asking me already, you said that God answers him daily we pray. So why are we now persevering in prayer? Since God answers daily we pray, why are we now supposed to persevere in prayer? Because you guys like confusing us in this church. I'm going to explain it to you. One reason you persevere in prayer is because there is the involvement of your heart in your receiving of answers. Let me tell you what that means. What that means is that if God gives you anything, your heart must be in the right frame of mind to have it. Look at how God works. I've taught you many times. How does salvation come? Salvation is when you believe in your heart, you speak with your mouth. What it means is that your heart and your mouth must be in agreement to get anything from God. So, if your heart is not in the right state, for instance, if your heart is in doubt and you pray, you will not see the answer. So your heart must be right. So how do we get our heart right? If we stay long in prayer, I will keep praying over a matter. I showed you on Sunday, once you keep praying over a matter, you stay more in faith over that matter. Because prayer gives you perspective. Prayer makes you know that this thing is still possible. If there's anything that you are believing God for, and you've stopped praying about it, trust me, you've stopped believing. The next time you remember it, you'll be like, can it even still happen? But once you are still praying about it, what is happening is your heart is in the right frame of mind. Are you getting what I'm saying? So persevering prayer, not really about God. It's because, one, it puts our heart in the right frame of mind to receive. So if our heart is not right, we will not get from God. So persevering in prayer positions your heart right. Because trust me, I was talking about prophets on Sunday. How many of you have ever heard from the Lord? I said it on Sunday. Anything from the Lord that was bigger than you when God said it to you? Has God ever told you anything bigger than you? Bigger than your mind. Good. The day the Lord said it to you, in the realm of that prayer, did you believe it? Most times you do. At that moment. I mean, if I heated prayer now, I'm going to show you pictures of buildings. You just be shouting, glory! You are just excited. The problem is that when you leave that place and now sleep, come on, and wake up, you don't remember what to say. Was I mad? Me build company, build industry. Let me drink Gary first. Why were you excited in church? But you're no longer excited at home about the same thing. You're not praying. If you get to pray over that same thing, that possibility will remain in your mind. That's what persevering does. It keeps your heart right. And that's one, I'm going to put this on Facebook one of these days. One of the greatest things I'm thankful to God for in this building project is that at every step on the way, we've had to trust Him for everything. You may not know. You may not know. You yourself, you're in church. I'm shouting, the building is done. Sometimes I'm shouting, I know that what's in the account is 30,000. Literally. So I had to trust God every step on the way. And how do I stay? How do I look at an account that has maybe 30,000 and a budget of 30 million for that will be used that week? How do I look at these two things and see telling people the building is coming? If you don't persevere in prayer, you just look at it and say, you know, I was mad. When I thought about this, I was mad. This is why people lose their answer, because they don't persevere in prayer. Are you following me at all? Persevering in prayer, it keeps you in that state where you always believe in that thing. Amen. So it's not God. You don't persevere in prayer so that you can move God's hand. It is you. That's why I teach people, prayer changes you before it changes the situation. Prayer acts towards you before it acts towards anything. Prayer changes you before it changes any situation. So when we stay long in prayer like that, the more we are praying, the more we are seeing possibilities. No man that ever prayed over a matter doubted that matter. Let me tell you, I was talking about praying for Nigeria a few minutes ago. How many of you, for real, now don't act like you're in church, tell me, man to man, do you really believe Nigeria will be good? Sincerely. How many of you don't believe Nigeria will be good? Now, I know you're a believer, you should believe right, but in your heart, you don't believe Nigeria will be good. Let me see one. Nice. I used to be there. I used to tell my friends, see, this country, nothing. Just know that God is protecting you. We are in Zion. For this country, forget it. Why many people think like that is sincerely, it's not our fault. The things are really bad. It's really, really bad. But many Christians will keep doubting that Nigeria will be good. So people are shouting, yes, 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 Nigeria will be good. Some of you are young. That's why you still believe Nigeria will be good. Without prayer. If you've been here long enough, I've witnessed a number of elections. And every time we say, this next election, free and fair. Free and fair. Our vote will count. I told some of my friends, this next election will be a good one. Says, will you vote? You go and vote. Exercise of civil rights. Every year. Let me tell you, if you look at this naturally, there is no hope. But look at this. If you are actually praying for the country, you will be speaking different from every other person. Because prayer makes you see possibility where there is none. That's just how it works. So there are not many people praying for Nigeria, and I'm guilty of that. The Lord called my attention to that recently, and these days, even today, I had to say a prayer for Nigeria. I said, God, just help this name. Because if you are not praying for the country, you won't see possibility, and that's how it works with everything. So persevering in prayer is not actually a question of God. He does something to you. He makes you to keep believing and expecting. The second reason we persevere in prayer, for instance, is because there is the involvement of Satan and demons on this earth who will try to come against your answers. So we saw that on Sunday, how Daniel began to pray and the prince of Persia rose against him. So you look at that, Daniel chapter 10, the angel said to Daniel, verse 12, he said, from the first day thou began to pray, thy words were heard from day one. Look at that. From the first day thy words were heard. But then there was a prince of Persia. So because we know that God hears us from day one, but the devil will try to interfere with the answer that God has sent, we must stay in prayer. That's why the Bible says in James 4 verse 7, he said, resist the devil. So there must be a resistance. Because of that, we must stay in prayer. Let me explain 4 verse 7, not 1 verse 7. Let me explain it to you. When Daniel was praying, who fought the angel? That's right, the demon in the spirit. An angel, right? Now, what do angels act on? They act on God's word. So once you are praying and you are speaking God's word, you are engaging the angels to keep going against whatever demonic force. Do you hear what I'm saying? So if you stop praying, you just let the devil play. Not because God has not sent anything, but you might not see it. So, because there's involvement of certain forces, we persevere. Number three, because there is the involvement of men and circumstances in bringing answers. I've explained this many, many times to you. We must persevere in prayer. Because look at what I'm saying. If everything about your answer coming to you is in the hands of God, trust me, you don't need any persevering. Just pray. God answers from day one. But because if your answers will come to you, your heart has to be involved. You have to at least accept and believe that this is possible. Number two, Satan will try to rise against you. Number three, man will try to play roles. For instance, now, I've talking about money. I always like using that. If you're praying for money, how will the money come? Somebody may give you the money. Somebody may patronize your business. Because there are men that will be involved in the process of that answer. You have to stay in prayer. Because your prayer has to keep acting on the hearts of those men to bring your answer to you. Are you getting the point? So, persevering in prayer doesn't affect God. It affects you. It affects the devil. It affects men and circumstances. So, why was Esther praying? Why were they fasting and praying? Because that prayer had to act on the heart of the king. Because you know she was about to enter to go and see the king. And she may be killed. So they prayed so that the prayer worked on the heart of the king. So it worked in their favor. Furthermore, that prayer was what kept the king awake. You remember that story now? And made the king remember Mordecai. Furthermore, that prayer arranged events that overturned the murder and what would have been the highest massacre of the Jews. Because the papers that Haman has received was going to empower him to kill every Jew, starting from Esther to the last. But in prayer, the king began to act against that order, even without knowing what he was doing. So when you are praying for, Lord, I want to travel abroad. I want to travel. I want to go to study. God says yes. But you know the devil doesn't want you to travel, so he's going to fight that. Number two, you are not from a rich home. So your heart is telling you how do you think you can travel. So that it's also your heart contending to believe what God has said. So you have to keep praying. Number three, there is involvement of men in the process. There is somebody at the visa stand who will interview you. Are you following what I'm talking about now? You need money, for instance. You don't have all the money. There is someone that has to be there to give you the money. You need proof of funds. But I don't know where they talk now, Abi. So you need men. So it's not just about God. That's why you keep praying, exerting the influence of the power of God on the hearts of men, on circumstances, and on the devil. Are you following me this evening? So we must learn to persevere in prayer. Not persevering in prayer is actually leaving your answers. So how to lay hold is to stay in prayer. Let me tell you what persevering in prayer does not mean. Two things. It doesn't mean to keep begging God. Yeah, because I want to explain how to persevere in prayer very shortly. It doesn't mean to keep begging God. God, please now. God, please now. Shall we pray this prayer now? Some try to blackmail God. Father, this is the 16th day of this prayer. You like how your son is looking? You like the fact that your son has not eaten for the past? No, it's fine. What kind of father lets his son starve? Have you ever prayed that kind of prayer? You say the truth. You know, we've all tried to blackmail God at one time or the other. You know, see, God is a merciful God. You can pray that prayer and he'll answer you. Yes. Ask your daughter did it. They brought a child to him without eye, without nose. You know that story? Born without anything. Without eye, without nose, without eye socket. Just plain. And he lifted the child up to heaven and said, Father, this is your image. If you like him like this. Sometimes, all people try to blackmail God. As long as God will just say, this boy. You know, I've told you, when you come to pray, and I want to say this, don't just come with faith in your heart. Don't bother so much about being too correct. Yeah, it's good to be doctrinally correct, but don't think that God is waiting for you to be correct before he will answer you. I told you, just God answers unbelievers. If your child comes to you and is asking for something, you're not waiting for, maybe a child of two is asking for something. Wants water. and is calling it, give me tata. You know what he's saying? He said no. Until you pronounce it correctly. There's nothing about being grammatically accurate. He said, say water. If your wife is there, she'll just carry water and give the boy. You know why? Because when it is father-son relationship, it's the heart. What do you want? That's what you're looking for. Are you following what I'm saying now?
Yes.
Well, let us do that. You can't blackmail God. But sometimes when we do it, but that's not personal prayer is not to keep begging God, begging every day. God, please, now the guy. What of that guy asked you about? If you understand how prayer works, if you understand from day one that he has answered, you will know that persevering in prayer is not an attempt to convince him. If I pray over a matter once, I don't try to convince, to talk to God about it again. But I persevere in prayer. I'll tell you what I do. In the name of Jesus, Father, you are receiving this, and that. You won't see me come again and say, Father, Jesus, please now give us this. Father, please now give us this. Father, please now give us this. Father, you've not given it to us. Father, it's been 3 days. We've been asking for this same thing. You don't have it. If you don't have it, say you don't have it. That's what I need to tell God. If I say you don't have it, there's no point. We understand. You are our God. We believe in you. Say if you cannot give it, just say you cannot give it. Let's know. And I promise I'll keep serving you all days of my life. Just tell me one-on-one. Can you give it? But that's not persevering in prayer. It's not to beg God and to keep begging him and to keep begging him. It's not also to keep fighting the devil. That's what people do. They take it's persevering in prayer. I don't see that's persevering in prayer. Every day, you are breaking the same curse in your father's house. You broke it day one. Every curse of untimely death. The next day, come again. Wait. Did he break the first or did he not break? That's not persevering in prayer. Do you even believe in your prayer? That's the first way. Do you even believe that what you're saying used to work? Every demon holding our promotion. You spend 30 minutes dealing with it. Then the next day you come back again. You foul devil. I've been talking to you. Now you don't want to go. Today is the day. After the day, the next vigil. That's why any church that constantly, every service, keeps leading people to pray. Everybody, where they do me. Everybody, they look at the problem with that prayer. It always bears some belief. Because every fresh day you come, you believe that there are still some forces holding you down. Now, I'm not against praying those prayers. I just prayed 3 minutes ago against enchantments, right? Nothing wrong with that. But please, sir. You don't persevere in prayer by every day binding the same devil yourself. Does God even answer your prayer? Are you following me, friends? What does it mean to persevere in prayer? I will give you 3 things. It's a blessed day. The first way to persevere in prayer over any matter, especially over prayers of supplication and intercession, is to keep praying over that matter in the spirit. Keep praying over it in tongues. Once you pray in tongues, the Bible says they are praying right. So, where did I get that from? Ephesians 6 verse 18. It tells us one way to persevere in prayer is to persevere in the spirit. Give me that verse. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Watching on thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So how to pray, to pray persevering prayer is in the spirit. Give me like NLT of this verse. NLT. Pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent to your prayers. So one of the ways to persevere in prayer is to pray in the spirit. Because once you are praying in the spirit over a matter, you are praying right. You are speaking the right words. How not to pray amiss is to pray in the spirit. So if you pray over a matter, I want to prove it again. Keep praying in tongues. What will happen is that if you keep praying in tongues in that prayer, you will pray in tongues to a point. The Lord will not give you words to speak in English. So, persevering in prayer is not a place to come and be begging God. Father, we asked you for a job. Do you know, Lord, that application I've closed? I'm begging you again. And this is the last time I'm going to beg you. No, God is. I've actually prayed that kind of prayer. And God answered sharp because he loves me. When I was very confused, some of you know the story, on my faith journey, I had a lot of questions about Christianity. Nobody was answering me. I had questions. I kept asking. Because those were the days when they said everybody was in hell. Bimbo Dukoya was in hell. Bessie Nidosa was in hell. Did you know that time? They said all those books. I saw many of those books. I went to the Lord. I said, so if Bimbo is in hell, and as your Bessie Nidosa is in hell, I am going to hell. So, I don't like wasting my time. Either. So, I had questions. And I spoke to a few. I even asked openly in my fellowship. I asked them one day, how do people go to heaven? And they stood up and they told me, it's righteousness and holiness. And I raised my hand again. And I said, who is holy and who is righteous? Because I mean, who can tell me here that in the past 1 week he has not committed sin? And they stood up again. And they said, that is why there is confession of sin. Bible says when we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us. They answered, I said, one more question. And I wasn't asking sarcastically. I meant what I was asking. This was my journey to finding the gospel. I said, is making heaven by luck? They said, no. I said, I gave them that knowledge that I normally give you guys in church. I said, what if I'm a good person? Living the Christian life, just being a good person. And then I lie. I lied. And then as I was about to confess my sin, just 3 seconds to confession, rapture now takes place. I will go to hell. What of this other brother who is just living carelessly? And luckily for him, 1 second to rapture, he now say, Lord, please forgive me all my sins. He will now, pa-pa-pa-pam. He will now fly and leave me. I say, so answer me. And they stood up. And they said, well, we ask for grace. I said, by the grace of God. I said, I was confused. They were confused. We all confused. So we all went to. So I started praying. So on this particular occasion, I told God, I said, I am going to fast and pray. I'm going to be here. I'm not going to go to class. I'll be here Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm going to fast and pray for 3 days. If you don't give me answers, because this whole Christianity thing is confusing to everybody. I'm not sure. People I'm leading are not sure. We are all hypocrites. Deceiving ourselves. So you better give me an answer. If you don't give me an answer, so after this repentance, right? If you don't give me an answer, after this fast, if I leave this room, Lord, that will be it. Because I'm not stupid. I was sure I was going to hell. I'm not, let me tell you, I don't like fooling myself. Do you know how Archbishop Bessie Ndosa is? It was some time ago. They said Dr. Mokpa died. They say that he died. That man is a very funny man. And he's dead now. But you know when he died, they didn't bury him. They didn't announce it for long. They thought he would wake up because he had died many times. So as one of those, they said he died, and that he died, that he went to heaven, and God rejected him. So when he woke up, he heard it. So in fact, you said he said, hey, I wish I could speak this in Igbo. Please forgive me if you're not Igbo here. I'm explaining it. It's fitter in Igbo. He said, the people said I died and went to heaven. Chukwe wejum. And he now said, Chukwe juma. He said, if God rejects Uma, what will he do to you? And then I said, I wonder. But for real, if God rejects Dr. Mokpa, what will he do to you? Call it pride, call it anything. It is fact. If God rejects Reverend Dr. Mark by Ajobi Daosa, just stop serving him. You won't make it. So, yeah, I thought about it that way. But that day, in the midst of my blackmailing God that day, it was Monday. And I knew, I'm going to, I opened all my notes, all my books. I was studying. I wasn't seeing anything. So I just tired. I fell back. I've not eaten for 3 days. I fell back on my bed and said, Lord. And then I had that vision. That vision that changed my life. I had that vision of Jesus. And he told me in that vision, he said, forget everything you've known. Open my Bible. Read my Bible. Read the Bible like a book you've never met before. He said, let me teach you. That was the turning point of my teaching ministry. But that I blackmailed God, that's what I'm saying.
Do you understand? It was, but I told God, let me tell you.
You are about to lose. Anything you think I am, your son, your servant, you are about to lose him today.
But you know God answers prayers. He answers prayers.
That's why God doesn't look for you being those. All those prayers I prayed, they were not correct. But I'm just telling God, I'm confused though. But if you think I'm going to finish serving you and go to hell, I won't do it. See, I either serve you or not. We either assure me or we are not doing. So light began to shine. I began to study scriptures. I began to open my eyes from there. Began to meet great teachers who could answer questions on righteousness. E.W. Kenyon. Have you read E.W. Kenyon? E.W. Kenyon. I know you don't understand the English. Just take it easy. If it takes you 1 week to finish one chapter, it's fine. Go and get a book like The Father and His Family. Have you seen that book? Get Father and His Family. Get New Creation Realities. Get the first one that changed my life. What happened from the cross to the throne? What really happened from the cross to the throne? Get 2 kinds of righteousness. The journey went from there to other great authors, other great teachers, and light began to shine. Well, but look at what. So my point is, persevering in prayer is not blackmailing God. That's what I'm saying. But listen to this. Persevering in prayer, do it in tongues. Because that's one thing I did throughout those 3 days. With the fact that I was blackmailing God, but I was praying in tongues. If there is something you are praying about, and the answer is yes, you are not seeing the answer, pray more in tongues. That's what you persevere in prayer. Pray in tongues. Because if you get to English, you may not have words again. Does it happen to you? Stay in tongues. Number 2 way to persevere in prayer is keep confessing the word. So if I'm praying over a job and I pray over the job, I pray and I get a victory note that the job had come. Next time I'm going to pray about the job, I'm not going to get back to saying, Father, please give me a job. No. He has given. But I'm praying it also and I'm speaking forth. Father, thank you. I received the job. So you see how we're praying about spiritual hub here. Every time we come, we say, we are getting our spiritual hub. We don't come and say, Father, please now, we are building. Give us building now. Give us house. Give us land. Give us money. No. We've prayed, God has answered. So we just kept. So one of the major ways to participate in prayer is to speak the word. Keep speaking the word that you got about the issue. That's perseverance in prayer. So I say, one in tongues. That first one I said in tongues is very important because many people don't know how to persevere in prayer. You are praying for a soul to be saved. You say, in the name of Jesus, you are saved in Jesus' name. Are you going to sit down? No. You've got to stay over that in tongues a very long time. You are praying for, that's why I said intercession and supplication. You are praying for your country. Prayer for your country. Don't pray. Just pray in Jesus' name. Nigeria is well. It's a lie. You've got to stay in prayer. In tongues. Are you following me? Then, even when you have prayed a prayer of faith, I command this mountain to move in Jesus' name, and you go up to the mountain and it's standing there. Know that God has answered. What do you do? Persevere. How do you persevere? It's not to start telling that mountain, move in Jesus' name, move in Jesus' name, move in Jesus' name. You've prayed. Believe God has answered. Keep the word in your mouth. This mountain, you are no more here. I receive my healing. I declare that healing is working in my body right now. I declare that the job is here right now. Thank you, Lord, for the job being supplied. For the finance is here. The supply is here. You keep that persevering. You are continuing. You are not asking God afresh. You are reaffirming what He has done. Are you following me? So when God told Abraham He would give him a child, He didn't tell Abraham keep praying about the child. But He made Abraham change his name. Your name will not be called Abraham, father of many nations. So Abraham was to keep speaking what God has done. I am, not I will be. I am the father of many nations. I am father. So you must have your own Abraham name. I am father. So a believer can come to prayer. He has prayed for a job. He now begins to say, thank you, Lord. The job is here. The job is here. It's my job. It's my job. That dream job. This, that, that. You're speaking because you've prayed. So to hear persevere in prayer is not actually to start asking God again and again and again. Disturbing God, you've not done it. So what is keeping it? You have not. You keep speaking the word. The third way to persevere in prayer is to do that in thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for supplying the money. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the job. Thank you, Lord. Especially when you're praying, prayer of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Colossians 4 verse 2 tells us, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. But that's, He told us how. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. How do you continue in prayer? In thanksgiving. There is no perseverance if there is no thanksgiving. Because if you are not in thanksgiving, it means you are saying God has not done it. You are trying to convince him to do it. Continue in prayer in thanksgiving. So there are prayers that we want to continue in. You pray it in tongues. Really, supplication, interceding, for instance, for somebody to get a job. And he has not gotten the job. Anytime I come to that prayer, it's not about me. I don't know what is going on in that person's heart. I don't know what is happening with the person. I don't even know whether the person is in faith. So what will I do? I keep praying that prayer in tongues. I get the point. Intercessions are better made in tongues. If I'm praying maybe for, you know, a soul to be saved, and the soul is not saved, you don't hear me saying, thank you Lord for the soul is saved. No, he's not saved. So I will continue that prayer in tongues, in the spirit, in the spirit, in the spirit, in the spirit. Continue. Are you following me? But if it's like a need I've prayed over in my life, and I've gotten that victory, I've gotten it, I too do things. I keep the word on my lips, and I keep doing it in thanksgiving. That's how to persevere. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us, pray without ceasing. But you know, you told us how to pray without ceasing. Next verse. How do you pray without ceasing? In everything, give thanks. Yes. Perseverance is in thanksgiving. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the job has been given. Thank you, Lord, for the supply is here. Thank you, Lord, for having a great meeting. Thank you, Lord. Are you following me? If you don't do, you lose your answer. That's why there's no prayer I've ever prayed that I've not seen the answer. If I've not seen it, I'll still see it. Because I will not let it go. And not letting it go doesn't mean that I'm holding God, saying, God, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Mm-mm. God has done it when I prayed. But I'm going to pick the word he gave me. You know, when we say God has answered, most times, the answer of God is a message. The answer of God is a word. Are you aware? Most times, a word he gives you. So you take that answer and keep it affirming it. I'm praying for a car. Lord Jesus, I need a car. And the Lord said, I have given you the car. Woo, hallelujah. That becomes what to say every day. I will say it. I will declare it. I will speak it in thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for the job he's given. Thank you, Lord, for the car. Thank you, Lord, for the channels are open. Thank you, Lord, for the flow is flowing. We just go like that. Continue in thanksgiving. Don't let your answer slip off. I prayed. I didn't see the answer. No, the answer is there. Stay in thanksgiving. Then one last thing I'm going to say. How do you lay hold? I said two things I'm saying about laying hold. Actually, two things I'm saying. Number one, I say persevere. And the second one I'm saying, just act on whatever instruction that God gives you. Many people miss out on laying hold on their answers because they persevere in prayer, they are declaring, but then instructions will now come. They will not know how to act in accordance with the prayer they've prayed. When we are done with this building, I'm going to tell people many stories. Because everything we've done so far has been every step on the way. Father, what do we do next? What do we do next? What do we do next? And even tonight, and after this meeting, I have a meeting with the building committee. It's just to give them a new direction. Let me tell you, if you actually want to see answers to your prayer, persevere in the prayer and listen to instructions. Let him lead you and act on it. Because many of us miss out on answers to our prayer because we don't have to lay hold. We don't persevere. And even when we persevere, we don't pay attention to instructions. There are days the Lord will just say to me, maybe I'm praying for, you know, I've told this story before. Let me just tell you one more time. Then we close. Are you here? When we got our, what is now our second car, you know, that was last year, so it's not long ago. When we got that car, we prayed, we believed God for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh Lord. Well, let me tell you the story. So when we wanted to get the car, we prayed. Father, in the name of Jesus, receive this car. And then after we prayed, we began to confess. Somewhere along the line, God led one or two persons to say, you know, Pastor, we want to give you a car, but then
Somebody one actually said, God led me to give a car, but the money I saved up for the car, the money I plan to save up for the car, I've saved it up, but I've gone to check how much they're selling cars. I cannot buy it. So, sir, please let me just transfer the money to you. I said, fine. Great gift, great seed. We prayed. We couldn't still buy it. All that money came in and all of that. So we kept that money, but it wasn't meeting up to the amount. So, but we're just praying. We're just praying. Now, in tongues, I'm majorly confessing the word. The car is here. The car is here. Much more supply. Much more supply. But then, no supply came. I ever prayed for supply. Supply. No, the money just hang there. Sometimes you just wake up and you just, today is my receiving day. And that day will end, you receive nothing. Then, one night I was praying. Or one day, rather, before I get to the night. And the Lord said, start looking for the car to buy. That exact car you want to buy. It's time to go for it. The money was nothing close to complete. I said, okay. I said, one night I was praying and the Lord said, this is dramatic. The Lord said, go online now. So I went online, went to this car dealer, whatever, where, and then I saw this car. So I just screenshot it. I liked it. I screenshot it. And then, by the next, I checked it again. I didn't see the key again. So I called them the next morning. As I saw this car online, they said, we've deleted it. So we posted it immediately and we deleted it in like 1 minute. How come you saw it immediately? I said, well, I saw it. So he said, come. I came. The price they put the car was what we could do. So the price was so low that I had doubts. So I had to start making, I had to check the car. Check. I even called a mechanic. I said, they say this car is this, it is that. But he's looking over, check. He said, So he called me and said, how much is this car? I told him. He said, buy it. Now look at the story. We bought the car. We pushed and pushed. The day we were going to buy the car, we had some issues with transfers. But the Lord said, don't leave here. Buy this car today. We stayed there from morning till night trying to make transfers. We made the transfer. It went. We left. Do you know what happened? 2 days after. Those people who bought the car from, I started getting calls from them. I say, what's happening? He said, want to know, are you enjoying the car? I say, yes. He say, is he giving a problem? I say, no. They say, because we're actually calling because we are actually pleading that you return the car, we'll refund you in full. I say, why? He say, we just found out we undersold the car. They went to market to get other cars and found out that. So I say, you see, let today be the first and last time. You ever call my line? Delete my number. I don't know you. You don't know me. We've never met. But it didn't stop. They kept calling. Thought that they would call. Says there's no problem. We can even add money for you. Because by the time they went, that car was times two the price. They sold it less. Amen. God said, look for the car now. Pray now. Midnight. Pray now. Stop praying now. Pick your phone now. Check this place now. Go now. Pay for the car today. Mom was pregnant then. We were there from morning till night. I was already getting uncomfortable. But the transfer was, God said, don't go. And I got shown. She said, don't worry, let's pay. We did everything. We paid. Completed all the signing, everything that day. Left. I said, Colin, please, we can even add small thing for you. Because we understand that for the inconveniences. You can't actually get, there's something about following time instruction where you want to get. And I have many stories like this, I'm telling you. Where everything, because if I had missed that instruction, it would have been that. No, I'm not quarreling with you. We are good terms now. I'm good terms, but I still didn't return the car. But we are in good terms. I spoke to you about spiritual cost reduction. Something about instructions. So you're trusting God for a house and all of that. And God has given you money. Or you trust God for more money. Sometimes He will lead you
on what to do to get more money. Sometimes the more money will not come, but he will lead you on what to do and the job will be done. God doesn't fail. We must learn to act on his word immediately. Learn promptness in acting on God's word. Don't delay. If he says start praying now, start praying immediately. If he says give this amount, give it immediately. If he says go and see that person, move and go and see the person immediately. Go and see the person immediately. Just talk. Let it not make sense to you. All that you need to confirm is, did God say this? Which is why you also persevere in prayer, because it is that perseverance in prayer that you can begin to hear and get what God is saying. Do you know, if you pray over, Father, I trust you for this chair, you pray and you stop, you will, the problem with stopping is you will not get the instruction that will lead you to getting the chair. So persevering in prayer is how people lose their answers. Not because God will not answer, because they will not even hear what they need to do to get the answer. Just stay in prayer and listen to the instruction that God will give you. I have many stories like that too. Many, many stories. Even around this building. Many stories like that. I'm just compiling them. Many. When God will say, look at what you have to do now. What you have to do now. Amen. Like today, this afternoon, the Lord said to me something about that. I called a meeting this night. The Lord said that it's something you guys must do, and no matter what happens, it must happen this week. I'm going to tell the building committee this night, it must happen this week. And I don't care what is happening, whether there is money or not, it must happen this week. It's based on instruction. And if you miss out of those instructions, you miss out of everything that God is offering you. Then you now go winding up and down. God did not lead. God, we prayed. I prayed. That we prayed. But where is God? You did not lay hold on the answer. This is your receiving season. Stand to your feet. Let's just close. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And all I have needed, thy hands has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord unto me. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Lift your hands and sing it. Morning. Thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord unto me. Great is thy faithfulness. Sing it all over this place.
Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning,
new mercies I see.
All that I've needed,
thy hands has provided.
You
know what the Lord said to me? There are a number of us who are even praying for souls. There's somebody are praying for the person to be saved and all of that. He said, keep praying. Then pay attention to instructions. Sometimes the Lord will say, go in now. When he says, go in. Sometimes he will say, wake up and pray for this person now. Sometimes he will say, give him a book. Meet him now. Talk about this. It's in those instructions that you see the answers. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. We did two times and we close this evening.
All that I've needed.
Thy hands have provided. Sing it again.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, you mercy thy sin.
Woo.
All that I've needed,
thy hands have provided, my God. Onye, 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 onye,
onye,
onye, onye, come on. Come on, so sing it now. Giver of all good gifts. Yeah. Onyo ni nyoma onye. Onyo ni nyoma. Onyo ni nyoma. Onyo ni nyoma. Onyo ni nyoma. Ojo ni nyoma.
Onye, 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 onye,
eze onye. Chineke kigwe nala, otito dirigina. Anyigesi ya hagele gina nihi nibu nonye onyo ninyoma the giver of every good gift, come on. Onyo ninyoma, God is a giver. One last time. Onyo ninyoma. Chukwu na-enye karịa onye ọbụla. Chukwu na-enye karịa onye ọbụla. Yes. Ọ na-enye karịa ndị oribo na-akwụkwọ n'ọnwa anọ. Chukwu na-enye, let me sing it now. Chukwu na-enye karịa onye ọbụla.
Sing it one more time. Say, Chukwueze. Aya. My God.
For the rest of this year, just know that he gives, 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 higher, he gives, he gives, he gives, he gives, he will never turn you down. He gives, he gives, he gives. He's a giver. He's the giving God. He's the giving God. Yes. Close it here. Whatever you're looking for, pray. When you pray, hold it. It will come. It's not God you're holding. It will come. It will come. It will come. It will come. The days of receiving are here now. It will come. It will come. It will come. It will come. For many of you, months from here, 1 year from here, you will hold your miracle in your hands. You will hold that certificate in your hand. You will hold that offer letter in your hand. You will hold that endorsement in your hand. You will hold that baby in your hand. You will hold that medical report in your hand. And you will have all that you wanted. Oh, God is a giver. 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 This environment. I see answers in this place. Oh, I wish we had time. Sing one more time. Chukwueze kario nyobula. 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 Two more times. Tell your neighbor. Chukwueze kario nyobula. close. One of the days the Lord gave me this song. I'm going to sing it again and again. There was a time I was really bothered. Some of you that are in the ministry team, they will know that there is a percentage in our finances in this church. Our time is spent. I just feel like to say this. That is for giving to other ministries. I mean, even ministers that are younger than us. Right? I do that from time to time. I see pastors who are just having difficult days. Many times God just prompts me. I did the same by about three pastors, three churches God has put in my heart. He said, this Christmas, make sure you see them. These are people younger than me. I mean, younger in ministry, in age, and all of that. You know why? Because when I came into here, I was bothered at a time. You know, no ministry was, you know, reaching out to say, do you understand? I know because the Lord said we should give you this. And we're going through a lot. Financial. And the Lord said, that's where this awareness is. Say, I can give you. And that's not to brag. But we are doing a building in hundreds of millions. And 99.9% of everything in that building came from within. Are you following me? The Lord told me that they said, I'm a giver of gifts. And when he said, don't ever expect anything from me, and you put your eyes on man and what they can bring. And I thought that that's really for some of you. If somebody has disappointed you, because man is God's channel, man is God's method, but there is this God's method that has disappointed you. God gives good gifts. Take your eyes off them. I get the point. And that's why the Lord said to me, what people and ministries couldn't do for you when you were younger. He said, as you grow, he said, make sure that every younger minister around you will feel the impact of the blessing I'm putting in your hand. And we are seeing to that. Are you following me? Yes. So don't bother when you say, I have this uncle that failed me. God gives good gifts. Never make the channel the source. If someone doesn't come through, it's fine. God gives good gifts. Someone said he will train you in school, and now the person is not picking your call. God gives good gifts. Are you following me? Someone promised you something, and then shot as in ghosts. God gives good gifts. It's not a big deal. Are you following what I'm saying now? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you blessed? Very blessed. You know, next Thursday service will be the last Thursday service in this building. In this building. That's exciting, man. Glory to God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.